Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are your hands busy for the Lord today? Are you finding things to do for Him? Have you made this choice that you will serve the Lord Christ? Or are you waiting for someone to give you something to do? Now, that's good and bad in the sense that sometimes there are things to be done, and you don't want to do what needs to be done. You will say, but I don't like that. I'm not made that way. Don't be afraid to learn new things so that you can be more used by the Lord. Don't be afraid to learn of the things that He will do for you and how He will teach you. Don't shrink back from learning and seeking to be a greater instrument in the hand of the Lord. When you are set on doing things your way, you still are the Lord of your life. When you rise up to meet the needs of others, you are a servant. The Lord Jesus met our need. We could not make ourselves fit to meet God or to stand before Him. He became the lowly servant. He became sin for us, as we'll talk more about later. But He became sin for us. He served us. He presented Himself. Now, as you find yourself with busy hands, you are less likely to let your tongue wag. One of the things that I remember from my military experience was that if there were people who were in the military and they were quiet, then those were the ones to watch very carefully. If there were one that was griping, you knew what was going on inside. Now, griping and complaining is not good. As one old sea captain was mindful of this, that men were most likely to grumble when they had nothing to do. And that is the same way it is with people today in your church. You are more likely to pick your pastor apart or other brethren and sisters apart when you're doing nothing, when you're not serving the Lord in any way. You're more likely to feel like your calling is to criticize the other person who is busy. You think that your work is great and their work is not measuring up to standards. So if you will start presenting yourself as a servant to the Lord and for the Lord and serving others, you're less likely to complain and grumble, and you're more likely to be understanding of what is involved in the work. Oh, it happens so often that there are many who will grumble and gripe and complain and murmur because their hands are in their pockets. They've put their hands in a showcase and criticized the hands of the other person that's busy. They haven't offered up anything. They criticize the suggestions, the ideas, the labor that is involved. And the reason why is they, instead of using their energy to help, they're using their energy to be a tool in Satan's hands. The murmurer, the griper, the complainer, they're experts at this because they're doing nothing for the Lord. And they watch the other guy, the other woman or man who was doing the work, and they offer up criticism against them. The people who have things to do are more likely to be content with what they have. Those who have nothing to do or who do not take advantage of the opportunities to serve, they've never presented themselves to serve. They present themselves to serve, but not the right master. They are servants, not of the Lord, but of the adversary to the work of the Lord. And we need to be very careful. Heavenly Father, we do pray in Jesus' name that Thy hand of blessings will be upon us, that we will put our hands to Thy work, to Thy task, and to do a work that will bring glory to Thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's continue today in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, and verse 32. Remember, Moses has dealt with the people. He has administered judgment upon them for the sin of worshiping the golden calf after he's returned from upon the mount worshiping the Lord. He is now pleading, interceding, and he's asked the Lord in verse 31 of Exodus chapter 32. He returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, O this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold." Now the Lord knew what they had done. And Moses goes on in his intercessory prayer, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." I remember hearing two sisters talk. They're adults now. But one sister was telling the other this, that once she hurt her younger sister and didn't intend to, and she felt so bad about having hurt her sister like she did, until she went and tried to find a rock to hurt her own self to try to feel the pain that she had caused her sister. Now, there are others who go even further to try to feel the pain of those whom they've hurt. And others will try to place the blame on someone else. But Moses was saying, "Let me suffer the death that these ought to suffer for the sin that they have committed." And Moses was very far from ever committing that sin, because while they were committing their sin, he was up on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments. He was up on the mount in the very presence of God. He was up on the mount as close to God as one could get. And these were down at the base of the mount as far from God as one could get, because they were worshiping a golden calf. They were far from the Lord. And Moses was willing to die to be blotted out because of the name of God. We saw that earlier when the Lord says, I'll just wipe them out. I'll blot them out, I'll destroy them and make of you a great nation. Moses was concerned about the name of God there. And secondly, he was concerned about the holiness of God. He was concerned about the name of God before the unsaved, and now he's concerned about the holiness of God before God himself. And he doesn't want the Lord to destroy them. And even though he had dealt harshly with them, he still loved this people. And if not, I pray thee, blot me out of thy book which thou hast written. Notice what the Lord says in verse 33 of Exodus 32. The Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." So the Lord is telling him that each man must pay for his own sin. Now this is where the scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 21, concerning the work of Christ and how God would accept that work that Christ did in our behalf, so that the guilty could be counted free and clean. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now remember how the Lord Jesus cried out on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now Christ the Lord had not sinned. Pilate testified of this. The thief on the cross beside him testified of this. And the very fact that God received Christ, God himself testified of the fact that Christ had not sinned. But Christ offered up himself without spot unto God, and he literally took our place. He stood in the place that we should stand and be penalized and to go to a devil's hell. Notice what Isaiah 53 says in verse 5, or verse 4. I'll start with verse 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, Christ died in our place. He had no sins to pay for of his own. He died the death of a sinner. He died in our place. And the Lord says, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And so when Christ became sin for us, the Lord dealt with him. The Lord God, the Heavenly Father, God the righteous judge, dealt with him, dealt with his son as he would with a sinner. And when Christ hung on that cross, what? Why hast thou forsaken me? The reason for that was because Christ became sin for us. He himself knew absolutely no sin. Had he had one single sin, notice what the scriptures say, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And since Christ had no sin, God could not blot him out, because God is the righteous God, and Christ could die in our place and offer up himself to God to pay for our sin. It is not our righteousness that's getting us into heaven as Christians. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's the fact that God is pleased with the offering of Christ himself. God accepts the finished work of Christ for sinners, for you, and for me. Now I ask you in these closing moments, have you accepted the gift of God through faith in Christ? That when Christ was dying on that cross, he was dying for you, for your sins. If you haven't accepted him, admit to God that you're a sinner. Accept God's Son as your Savior. Repent of your sins and receive Christ, and God will accept you into his family. Remember, the Lord says, the one who sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Heavenly Father, we ask thee to work today through this message in hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.